Well, you know how I have always said there are no coincidences. Well, listen to this story. 68-year-old guy from Sacramento. A couple of years ago, he goes into a store and he buys a record player. Yeah, what's a record? He buys a record player. You know, he's got a few little records at home and, thought nothing of it. Well, years go by. He goes into an old antique store and he decides, you know what, let me look around here. And he spots old vinyl 45s, okay? And he can play them on this old record player that he bought. So he decides he's going to buy them all. And as he's picking them up, they're like $2 a piece. He realizes that they were his dead mother's records from a long time ago. Now, isn't that incredible? And he bought them all. They had her name written on it and everything else. There are no coincidences. So I'm going to open up a hotline. There are no coincidences line. What's happened to you in your life where you have said that to yourself? That's 818-817-0021. 818-817-0021. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Let's go to the phones. Also, okay, little contest. Time to give away some books too. Five of them. I've got five of them I want to give away. We don't throw them away. We give them away. But we make you earn it. So when you do get to the phone, here's the question. In what movie did Randy Quaid say, "I'm back"? What was the name of the movie? You get five books if you get that right. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Lauren in San Juan Capistrano, and that's in California. Hey, Lauren.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good. You want to take a stab at that question for the books?
I think I know the movie, but I'm trying hard to remember the name. I think Jennifer Tilly was also in it with Michael Madsen.
I'm back.
Oh, wow. That's going to be racking my brain for a while.
All right. Anyway, what'd you call for?
Well, your last guest, he said he made you feel kind of sick. I started getting a real sinking feeling in the pit of my stomach.
He made me feel woozy 4 years ago, but this one was just really weird.
I don't know if it's just everything all coming together now, but I wanted to ask you if you're familiar with a movie called Unidentified. It's been shown on the Trinity Broadcasting Network a few times.
You know, probably if I saw it, I would probably, I'm not that great on titles all the time.
Well, but
Who's in it? Do you know?
Just kind of a bunch of unknown actors. But
what's the premise?
It's about two reporters on a quest for the truth about UFOs, and they're out investigating stories of people that have been abducted and that have witnessed bright lights and everything. And it started me thinking about what your guest was saying about this. These spacecraft coming back that look like stars.
Okay, this one came out in 2006.
2006.
According to my crack staff here.
That sounds about right. That sounds about right. But basically, I think, these reporters go out and they basically end up discovering that this really is a big plot by the devil. And I've heard about this Maitreya guy since the early 80s. And I knew it was, and he was like real big with all these new agers out there. And I think it's just the best way that the devil's or the Antichrist is going to come in.
Because won't the Antichrist come in and trick us?
Yes.
We'll think he, she, whatever it'll be, is just a wonderful person.
Yeah. Well, the Bible says he'll fool even the very elect. And you had a guest on before, I think his name was Patrick O'Hearn.
Yes.
That had talked about the Nephilim that were coming back to run this world. And with everything going on right now, especially this economic deal, what better way to cripple our nation and rob us of our sovereignty and perpetuate this new world order? Even Kissinger has been saying in headlines that Obama's being groomed to get this thing off the ground.
Well, you know what? A lot of people are beginning to say that. They're starting to see this push toward this one world government. Heron, when he was on the show, believes all this is happening, like, right now.
Yeah, I think it is. It's just too much, too fast. And, you know, some of the things that one thing the Bible says, too, is that Jerusalem would always belong to the Jews. And it seems like Obama wants to give some of that away to the Palestinians. And it just is going to be one big conflict coming up. And I think even some of the stuff that Ed Dames has been remotely doing looks like it's probably going to hit on his target mark.
Well, you know, that's right. Speaking of Ed Dames, he's coming up on his window pretty soon where he's got to get those hits. We are monitoring it month by month, and we'll get him back on and chastise him if he misses the window. One of the problems with remote viewing, when you attach a date to it, then you get held under, and we'll see what happens. Clearwater, Florida. Robbie, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Robbie.
Hi, George. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Sure thing.
I want to get to the point, but just curious, that thing with the movie, I think that involves Chevy Chase. Is that right?
I'm not going to give you any clues.
Okay, because I don't know the name.
I'm back. Okay.
It's Christmas Vacation. Anyway, forget about that. More importantly, thank you. Okay. more importantly, tonight, I went to bed kind of early on Friday night, and I'm listening to your show. And matter of fact, Maitreya, I guess, is what you were talking about. I thought you said Petraeus, like the general. And I think nothing of it. Yeah. I'm thinking, this can't be right. I want to listen to this because I know he didn't say Petraeus. But I fall asleep, and I mean, I'm sound asleep, and I'm not a recollection of dreaming. But I woke up at 1:50. I know it was 1:50 when I came back in the room. And what happened in the dream was it in the room, and there's a girl in there. I don't even know who the girl is. All of a sudden, the doorway gets completely black. The room gets completely black. I cannot see the girl. I cannot see nothing. The hand in front of my face.
In the dream.
In the dream. Right. I freeze, totally stiff freeze. And the girl, I hear her say, well, aren't you going to help? And I'm like frozen. And all of a sudden, I just jump up. And this actually, I actually physically did jump up. I realized after I woke up. And I'm screaming, and my arms are flailing, swinging at something. I don't know what. And I got roommates here and open the door. And they're like, what's the matter with that? And I said, I don't know, nightmare. Walk back in the room. I look, it's 1:50. And I'm listening to the radio, and I hear this guy. I hear you say, Maitreya. Oh my God, I'm not listening to this. It should be 5 o'clock in the morning already. What am I doing awake? And I had to stay and listen to the radio, hear the conversation, get the phone number and call, because it was just,
That's weird.
You were getting sick and losing energy.
Yeah, fast.
Something happened. I don't recall dreams. I very rarely recall dreams, and nightmares are just like never happen.
Man.
It was totally freaked me
out.
So
it got you too?
Yes, it did get me. And it got me bad. And I'm a firm believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this Antichrist thing scares the Jesus out of me on one hand. On the other hand, I don't care, because if the world ends, I'm going to heaven anyways. That's fine. But it just really, I haven't had an experience like this in many, 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 many years. It got completely black. I was frozen.
You are not alone in this, believe me. I mean, just by the nature of my emails, they're flocking in. Let's go to the no coincidence line. Joe in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi, Joe. Go ahead.
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
This happened to me in like 1979, 1980. A friend of mine from high school and I were riding along in a car. He's driving. It's like an old Maverick. Used to be his dad's car. He's describing to me when he was 16 years old how they were on vacation in upstate New York, him and his parents and his sister, and he's driving. He just learned to drive. You know, cruise along a two-lane road, this 60 miles an hour maybe. He said that he saw a big German Shepherd running kind of parallel to the road, you know, 100 yards away in the front yard of a great big house. He realized he just had this weird feeling the dog was going to run in front of him, and it was far enough ahead of him that it angled over to where it managed to run right across the road in front of him, and he hit the dog, and the car sort of went up on top of it. He could feel it hitting the floorboards, and it even hit the shifter on the automatic transmission and slammed the car in the park going like 60 miles an hour. And he turned around backwards in the highway and, you know, skidded to a stop, stalled out the car, and, you know, scared everybody half to death. He managed to start the car, and they went on their way. You know, he described this to me, and, well, while we're driving along doing this, this is in western Pennsylvania where we grew up, a little place called Bavington. Nobody knows where that is unless you're from around
there.
Right. He describes this to me, and I'm not kidding. I've only described this story to people I know really well because they realize I'm telling them the truth, you know, because they know me well enough to know I'm not making this up. 30 seconds after he finishes describing this story, a big German Shepherd just running alongside the road. We're going 55 or so on a little two-lane road on a blind curve. Right after he describes this to me, a big German Shepherd starts running from the front yard of this house, angles over, runs right in front of us. You could feel it hitting the floorboard, same way he just described to me. Slams the car into park going 55, 60 miles an hour, turns us around in the road. We stall out. I mean, this is on a turn where big semis are blasting around. And it took us a minute to start the car, but neither one of us said a word. We just started driving off, and you know, after a while, we got it started. We drove on, and we just started saying to each other, what in the hell just happened? And he lives in Utah now. I talk to him on the phone maybe once every year or so, or 2 years, and we always talk about that when we do, because we're the only two people that was there and know this
it's
really
incredible.
Happened. But I don't know what that was.
It's
exactly.
There, isn't it?
But anyway.
It is there. So let me ask you the quick trivia question. Maybe I can give you the books. Okay. What movie, Randy Quaid, I'm back?
I have no idea.
Okay. This may be one of those. And if nobody gets it this week, we'll just keep adding five more books to the kitty like we did a couple of years ago. Let's go to Sherry in Phoenix, Arizona on the wild card line. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good. Phoenix still hot, or is it cooled down a little bit?
Oh, my God. It is so hot. We are roasting over here. I wish I was over there. I was over there about a month ago. I'm ready to come back.
Oh, it's nice and
California.
Cool. Yeah.
Oh, I know. I lived there in Redondo Beach for about 15 years.
That's
I
nice.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Yes. I want to guess on that movie.
Okay.
National Lampoon's European Vacation?
No. Oh. You're only allowed one guess.
Oh, that's okay. Anyway, I wanted to ask you, I've listened to you on and off for years, and it's so hard for me to stay up late, but I love listening to you, so I finally got hooked up to StreamLink, and I love it.
Great.
It is awesome.
And you know, we've opened it up now. You can get the past year's worth now of shows.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I've been clicking in.
You keep your own little file and keep
them. My God. Well, how do it? Can I save those, or how does that work?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh.
Yeah,
oh,
you download them and make your own CDs, put them on your MP3s, do whatever you want with
it. Oh, I love it. You have the best shows. I mean, I am just glued, and I get up at 6 in the morning, so if I stay up till 2, it's tough. But
well, we got a staff, Sherry, that they work around the clock for us.
Oh, well, that's a good thing.
No, we're just we're the puppets, and they're the puppet masters.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know what? I have listened to you, I think, just almost from day one on and off, and during the times of raising my kids, there were times I didn't listen. But where are you in all this stuff? You have so many amazing guests, you know. And I was thinking last night, I thought, what, where are you on all this spiritual and UFO stuff? How do you, what do you think about all this?
Well, as I was asked that at a conference just a few months ago, I said, you'll never know. And the guy got upset. He said, come on, you're here. Tell me, how do you feel? Come on. And I said, no. I said, the luxury of Coast to Coast is, you know what? We put it out there. When a guest comes on, it is not a forum of argument. It is a forum to listen and accept.
You're so wonderful.
There are some days I'll have a guest on who says, get vaccinations.
Yeah.
And then there's another day we'll be on and we'll have guests on, as we will next week, who will say, don't get vaccinations.
Well, I'm in the camp of don't.
they're out there. But as far as I can, I see myself as a facilitator. That's all.
You are a wonderful facilitator. I mean, you're just so, you just have such a natural, wonderful vibration to just, just ooze things out of people. It's just so wonderful. I especially enjoyed your show with Spymaster.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. He was unbelievable. And it made me think a little bit after listening to him and this whole birth certificate issue with our president. And I thought, you know, who's to say, you know, the attorney that's looking into that.
Philip Berg.
No, the female that's actually a Russian descent that's in Southern California, Orly Tates.
Okay.
It's her name. Yeah. And it makes you just, you know, just makes you kind of wonder if there's not distractions out there sometimes.
Well, we shall see. You know, that's a strange story. It really is.
It is. And I heard you say you might discuss that when you.
Yeah. I want us to have some more information on it. You know, the state of Hawaii claims, no, we've have it and but you know, who knows? I mean, you know, it may be one of those things at this point.
Wouldn't it be amazing, though, George? Really, wouldn't it be amazing if, I mean, this would be really the first time in our history if it was really true that he was not eligible to be president.
I know. I'll tell you one thing. It will never happen again where a presidential candidate doesn't show his birth certificate directly and that and turns it into the to the feds.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, good. Well, anyway, it was nice to talk to you, and I just wanted to let you know I love StreamLink. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's
fun. I can listen during the
anytime you want.
Yeah, it's
anytime you want. Okay, sure.
All right. Well, thanks, George. Take care.
Absolutely. Let's go next to Portland, Oregon. Doug, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Doug.
Hi, George. Why, thank you for allowing me on, sir.
Sure.
And I hope you keep me on for a few minutes.
I will do the best. Now, if we hit the break, I'll put you on hold, and we'll come back to you.
Well, that works. All and right. Before I even start, I'd like to say that if anything ever came out of what I went through, like a book, I would donate most of the money to the Wounded Warrior Fund.
Interesting. Okay, tell us what happened.
I was in Germany before 9/11, a couple months before, and exactly a month before, the guy that took me over and was my manager advertised me on the internet, and he asked me to work for Osama bin Laden. And swear to God, it's the true story.
What?
Yep.
How did this come about, and what were you supposed to do working for him?
Well, he made sure I knew he was a dangerous man. He told me that before, right before he said, right. "You know, I'm a very dangerous man."
Had you known who he was?
I met him off the internet. Nope.
Okay. All right. So go ahead.
Yeah, he was a professional kidnapper, and he would kidnap women and sell them as sex slaves or hookers for the mafia. From Eastern to Europe to Germany and stuff.
This guy you met.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And he'd steal cars. The only thing he ever got caught for was stealing cars and selling them in other countries, and they collect the insurance money like Lamborghini.
Why? Let me ask you this first of all. Why did you want anything to even do with him?
Well, he was my manager. I was one of the world's top reining horse trainers at the time.
This guy who's done all these things was your manager?
Yeah, yes. I didn't know he did these things when I went there, all obviously. Right. But and so, you know, later I did go back and actually I for about 8-9 years. So the story goes on, but I'm only talking about this.
Okay.
So he basically looked at me sideways and he said, if you catch him, you get $3 million from the United States government. But if you want, you can work for him. It's not $3 million, but it's a lot of money. I mean, a lot of money. And he looked at me really like shady and sideways.
What did he want you to do for him?
Well, I think that comes later in the story.
All right. Well, we're going to hit the break, so we'll come back and hear a little bit more about this. I want to hear about it. Very strange. Very strange indeed. Open lines continue right here on Coast to Coast AM, and we will come right back to you, Doug. So don't hang up. Okay, let's go back to Portland, Oregon. Doug is there with his story. Okay, Doug, a little refresher here. Your manager, who ended up being some kind of a rogue person, wanted you to work for Osama bin Laden. Go ahead.
Yeah, he brought it up because he knew I'd lived in Israel before and asked if I wanted to work for him, and I told him I wasn't so tough, but I had Israeli friends that were. Okay, so after that, I turned him in. Directly after 9/11, I turned him in.
You turned in your manager.
Yeah, I turned him into the head of security at the Frankfurt Airport or at the Frankfurt Embassy.
Okay. Did they believe you?
Well, they obviously, because they raided his house. As soon as they raided his house, he put all over the internet that I accused them of being Nazis working together with a terrorist. That was 2 years before the neo-Nazi terror bust in Belgium.
Okay, now, still, you got to tell me why they wanted you to work for Bin Laden. What was the plan?
Well, I was kind of naive and would just go there and pray with my Bible when I ate meals with them and stuff. And, you know, so I left that ranch right before 9/11. And then he said he knew a girl he wanted to set me up with.
Hold on.
That was a few years
ago. Doug, hold on. Yep. Why did they want you to work with Bin Laden?
Well, I know the later, as far as I could tell, it led to the Al-Qaeda message, the days are pregnant.
I think something's wrong, Doug, with you. We'll be back in a moment. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Let's go to Lady in Alaska, west of the Rockies. Hi, Lady.
Well, hey there, George. You know, there's one thing I like about your show. You always got the right to change the channel. And tonight when you had your guest on, you know me, I turned the channel. You but I'm back.
You came back. Now, who said I'm back?
Probably the same dude that you're trying to get on the other part of that. You know, I haven't owned a TV in 40 years.
So you don't know the name of the movie, do you? Randy Quaid.
Maybe Jack Nicholson.
No. What was the name of the movie, though?
It was something scary. I didn't even stay. Not even going there. Not in my mind.
Right. Anyways, no. What's up? You're back.
Yeah. Hey, you got everybody talking about, this is not what I called, but you got everybody talking about the 9th of August. And that date, the 9th of Av, actually was yesterday. And on that day, both times the temple was destroyed and the Jews were expelled from Spain.
What do you mean the 9th of August was yesterday?
No, the 9th of Av.
Oh, Av.
Yeah, AV. Right. Okay. So if everybody's thinking it's the 9th of August, I even thought that, and I was wrong, and a friend got me a Hebrew calendar, and now I got it right.
Okay, what's your call for?
My call is about electricity, and I think that people are making it way too complicated because I'm not a learned person, but from what I understand is if you take a conductor, a wire, and you pass it through the lines of flux, north and south pole, you produce a current. And I know, like in aviation, the magneto, also in motorcycles, if you take that little shaft and you turn it, it's like you get one hellacious shock. And I know it also, it's got to be bonded or you can't turn it off. Maybe someone will tell me I'm wrong, but maybe I'm right. And what I want to know is, if you got electric cars already, how come when that wheel's going around, I love weed whacking, and steel makes a straight steel shaft where you can put the blade at the end. But then they got the other ones that are kind of like curved going towards the ground. They break your back. And if you disassemble, it's got a coil inside.
Sure.
And how come they just can't take and extend that wheel well out another piece and mount like a magneto or some kind of little generator to where when your wheel's going around, and if it's a DC current, put one each side, and then it'll overlap, and it'll give you AC feed.
Why don't you invent this?
Well, I see stuff all the time. I just don't do it.
Create it.
You know, I was
going to make a zillion dollars.
Like air balloons. You know,
air balloons.
Yeah, how come they don't make, like, you know how the ribbon in a woman's brassiere, how they got that?
Now, how would I know that?
Well, you've been married.
Yeah.
Anyway, how come they don't make one like an accordion with, like, some kind of vinyl and put some kind of chemical hanging from a chain? And when the sun hits it, it heats up and expands the molecules and it gives you a lift.
You're talking about that's how a bra works?
Well, the ribbing does, yeah. It folds like an accordion. Yeah, you just have it to where it's like you have the envelope, the balloon.
Never quite thought of it.
And when you take it, it collapses like an accordion. And then when you want to fill it up, you just take it and just bring it on out and around and lock it.
No, if you want to fill it up, you go to a plastic surgeon.
Oh, George, come on.
True. All right, thanks, Lady. Next up. No coincidence line, Rapid City, South Dakota. Jason, it's your turn. Hi, Jason.
How you doing, George?
Hi, good.
I was just calling. Before this happened to me, I wasn't a skeptic of ghosts or whatever. I knew that it didn't happen. I was convinced it didn't happen.
Not a believer.
Not a believer at all. Not even close. And one day I was at a my girlfriend's house at the time, and she had an older house, like had 8-foot doorways. And I looked over, and it was in the evening, right when the sun was coming down, and I saw this figure that pretty much consumed the whole doorway, and it had a long pointed nose and sort of a witch-like cap that bent backwards, and it was cloaked. And when I saw this, I jumped to the point that my girlfriend said, "Are you okay?" And I was like, I don't really want to talk about it, but I told her later on, you know, what I saw. Well, you know, and it was only there for a brief second, probably about 5 or so months ago. I was out with a friend of mine, and he had brought his laptop. We were having coffee, and he opens up his computer, and he had a screensaver of the exact same image that I had seen 5 years ago. And I asked him what it was, and he just said, "I don't know. I just like the screensaver." And I was wondering if you had any knowledge about what I saw or what it could have been. I heard about the shadow people, and it didn't seem like, you know, the shadow people at all. It was very strange, and nothing that I would have imagined, you know, prior to that, not in any kind of imagination, and surely wasn't a ghost until I saw that.
But now you're a believer.
I would say so. I don't talk about it still. If someone talks about ghosts or something that they've seen, I still don't talk about it. I don't say, "Well, I've seen the same thing."
Well, let me ask you, do you believe in life after death? That, you know, when you die, there's a little bit more than just nothing?
I believe in the law of conservation. We're all beings of energy, and we go to a collective of energy. I don't believe that this life is, you know, the average lifespan. I think it's eternal. But I don't believe that we become any sort of being, you know, like a human or a human form or anything like that. I would just say that we become a collective, and it's the energy that's always around us that we feel, you know, that sort of thing.
Sure, absolutely. And see, there's no reason not to believe then that form of energy is turned into all kinds of things that we just don't understand.
Right.
I mean, it's out there. Okay, thanks for the call. Let's go to Asheville, North Carolina, first-time caller. Hey, Mike, good morning to you.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
All right, let me see if I could peg this trivia. Is the movie Parents?
No.
Oh, man, I thought I had that for sure.
I want to give these books away. I can't believe it.
I
got in, just so everyone who knows who emailed me with the correct answer, it's got to be on the radio here, so it's not the email thing. I've gotten about 160 correct answers already. I just can't give it out. Oh, well.
Well, I've been doing some reading on this book. It's called Nothing in This Book Is True, But It's Exactly How Things Are, by Bob Frizzle. Are you familiar with that?
Yep.
And really, I'm just getting into a lot of this different types of, you know, I'm trying to open my mind and get into different books. I'm sort of like, I guess, starting out or whatnot. Could you point me in the direction of a few other books videos or whatnot?
Here's your first one. Second one, actually, now that you have this. Magic of Believing by Claude Bristol.
Magic of Believing?
It's a small book, but let me tell you, after you read that, that'll open you up to so many different things. And then in terms of possibilities, you know, every area that you want to go into, Mike, has a different facet. I mean, just go to our website, coasttocoastam.com. After you read The Magic of Believing, and in the search section, just put in various subject matters. All kinds of things will come up for you. You'll do your own research there.
And what do you think about this, you know, about this internal and external Merkaba or whatnot? What do you believe about all this?
That I'm not familiar with.
Oh, really?
But I'll check into that. Let's go to Cincinnati, Ohio, east of the Rockies. Todd, you're up.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good.
First-time caller. I just wanted to say thanks. Wonderful show.
You're welcome.
And I think I've got the answer for you.
Okay, let me ask you the question.
Okay.
What was the name of the movie where Randy Quaid said, "I'm back"?
Is it Independence?
Yes, you're right. After you're done, I'm going to put you on hold, and you can give Tom your address.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
We'll get you the five books.
I didn't have much. I'm just a longtime listener, and I just wanted to say hello, and hello from Cincinnati, Ohio.
You got it. Okay, you're on hold. You won. Congratulations, and we'll do this again some other time as well. That was the scene where, gosh, if you haven't seen the movie, I don't want to spoil it for you, even though it's an older flick now. Randy Quaid said it. That's all I'll say. Let's go to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania on the wild card line. Hey, Dan, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Good, Daniel. What's new?
Oh, wish you would have called me because I gave that answer to Tom. I knew the movie was Independence
Day. You were close.
Yeah. Hey, anyhow, just wanted to let you know I enjoyed the show about the Federal Reserve with G. Edward Griffin.
He's good.
Oh, he's sure
good.
Now, all you got to do is get Daniel Estulin on, and those two books, the story about the Bilderbergers and Griffin's book, Creature from Jekyll Island, basically explains, in my mind, what's happening to the United States right now.
You know, and it's right out there for all of us to see now.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, if you listen to the statements that the president has said, it kind of makes you wonder. It's like Hitler in Mein Kampf when he explained what he was going to do and nobody believed him. Well, if you listen to all the speeches from President Obama, he kind of laid it all out what he's going to do, and he's doing it.
Yeah, he is doing it. He's getting it done.
And that's, I think, you know, the American public just has to wake up, and we really just have to take back our country and just have everybody, all the politicians, quit monkeying with the Constitution.
It's going way too fast. He's got to pull back. He's got to slow down. He's got to build back his popularity level. It's plummeting.
Well, I still think that there's more to it than that, that there's got to be some organization somewhere behind all this, because it seems like somebody is pulling strings.
Well, they've always...
That's just my humble opinion, George.
Let me tell you something, Dan. They've always been pulling strings. Every president has had his arms and legs tied to little strings. Let's go to Shingletown, California. Roger, you're up with us. Good morning, Rog.
Hello.
What's going on?
Not too much. I just got done milking the goats. I always listen to Coast to Coast when I milk.
How many goats do you have?
I got four milkers right now with two new fresheners and about eight kids.
Do you make money doing this?
No, you can't sell goat milk. We can make soap out of it and sell soap. And
what about cheese?
I can't sell cheese either. It's against the law. But
is
we,
it?
What we
is
make a
what
lot
is
of wonderful cheeses.
Is feta cheese made out of goat milk?
Yeah, of course.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay, but you can't sell it.
No.
Why not?
Because the law, and I don't break the law.
But somebody's selling it.
Well, they have the USDA certification, and I don't have that.
Oh, that's
so,
why you,
you know,
can't sell it.
We're a backyard farm.
Okay.
It's a farm.
If you had the certification, you could sell it.
Right, but okay. I don't have the money to do that.
So why do you raise goats?
Because I love them, and because we're subsistence. We raise about 60 to 70% of our own food here, and we use horses most of the time.
That's high. That's pretty high. Okay, what's up?
The reason I'm calling is a dream saved my life.
A dream saved your life? What,
yeah.
What kind of dream was it?
It was a dream that woke me up about 4 o'clock in the morning. It was really super real, and I'll always remember it. And I wouldn't be talking to you now if I hadn't had that dream.
Want to share it with us?
Sure. I woke up from it. In the dream, I was at a bar, and someone pulled a gun on me. And someone standing behind me yelled, a woman's voice yelled, never stand in front of a loaded gun. And I jumped. I jumped in the dream, and I rolled, and I got out of the way, and I could hear a gunshot, and I woke up. And the night before my birthday, I was working on this ranch at the time, and a bunch of the guys that worked on the ranch, we were a bunch of cowboys, and we'd been working all day, and we went to this bar, and it was my birthday was the 4th of July, so it was on the 3rd. We were at the bar at that night, and a big fight broke out. These two guys broke into a fight. It was really bad, and they closed the bar down, and everybody was moved outside, and I was standing outside, and a man came from behind a car who was in the fight, and I wasn't in the fight. I was just watching it, and he pointed a gun right at me, and I just froze, and it was like everything went to slow motion, and I just remembered the dream, and I remembered what they told, what was told to me in the dream, and I jumped, and I rolled, and I crawled, and he shot right where I was standing.
Raj saved your life.
Yeah, and then I crawled, and then I got behind a planter, and then I got behind the barn, ran, and hid under a horse trailer. And I was laying under this horse trailer for about an hour and scared to death. I didn't want to even get him out of it. And next thing I see is a flashlight, and it was a cop looking for the body. They thought I'd crawled off to die.
Oh, my God.
And I lived through that, and that's a true story. And I just wanted to share that with you. I never had the guts to call.
That's a great story, Raj. Okay, enjoy yourself.
I am.
Be good.
Okay, bye-bye.
That's something. Raises goats, too. Let's go to Maryville, Tennessee. First-time caller, Mark, you're up.
Hey.
Hi.
I just wanted to let you guys know that George is always talking about the night vision goggles and watching the skies for UFOs and everything.
Uh-huh.
It's a little more mundane, but the Perseus meteor shower is coming up, and as was mentioned by one of the guests the other night, and it is definitely, if you can get a hold of night vision goggles or a scope or anything, that is one of the coolest things you can possibly imagine watching.
I got to believe, Mark, they're all over the place if you can see it with night vision goggles, huh?
Oh, it's truly a shower.
It really is. I mean, I've seen a few of those with just the naked eye, but with those night vision goggles, third generation, unbelievable. You don't want to buy them. Try to find somebody who has them because they're like $3,000, and that's a lot of money. But it really is neat. You can't believe how many stars you will see that you can't see with the naked eye. I mean, these night vision goggles, third generation, cut right through, and there are millions of them up there. Truly, millions of them. Well, by the way, don't forget, I'm on Sunday night. Emerging Artists, we have gotten thousands of CDs from emerging artists who've never had an opportunity to play their music anywhere other than little venues that they go to. And so this is your chance. We pick 7 every Sunday, and we're going to keep doing this. You keep sending them to Tom Danheiser here, and he picks out the cuts, and off we go. And then good luck to you. Hope it helps you in your career. I'll be back in just a moment as more Open Lines continue on Coast to Coast AM.